Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are in Philadelphia in the Theater of Living Arts, Red City Radio, La Armada, Goddammit, and the headliners, slash one of my all-time favorite bands, Strung Out. I'm joined by Chris on bass.
Hi, I'm Chris on bass, actually sitting on a chair.
Excellent, perfect. That's much more conducive. Anyway, now that you guys are about halfway into the tour, I suppose, how would you say it's been to be on the road again?
It feels great to be on the road again. We're all, you know, over 20 years doing this band, we're still just extremely grateful to have this privilege of doing this as a living, as something that we still love. And tour's been great. About a month in, you know, just fighting the usual things, sick, getting sick. Once one person gets sick, we all get sick kind of thing. But everything's going great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's always good to see a band like halfway through a tour because you get the first couple shows, the kinks worked out, yeah, and then you're not completely homesick and just tired of being out by the end. Yeah, yeah. So this is a sweet spot.
Yeah, now I'm in the pro. I'm like programmed right now. I'm like just hit play, you know, and that's how I go right now. I'm like a T-1000.
Okay. Oh yeah, what affected you during the making of this album?
What affected me during the making of this album was, you know, my life. You know, I think that's just what it is. We write from life experiences. We're all not, you know, in our early 20s anymore, like when we first started this band. And yeah, you just, I think as individuals, any person, you kind of change every 4 years. You grow, as you should. You know, you experience new things in life, whatever it is. So I think we're just, you know, a band that's just, you know, been around a long time, that's experienced a lot of incredible things, a lot of ups and downs, and We still have the scars to tell the stories about it. So we're just trying to just, you know, really write about our life. I think that's, we're not trying to like cater to a scene or anything really at this point with this new record of like trying to, oh, should we write political songs? Or should we write a song about war? Should we write, you know, this song? You know, like it was just like, fuck, this is our, what's going on inside? You know, like what's internal that we can just translate, you know, and just be honest about, be really truthful and see that, you know, just relates to people. He's shitting. That's Jordan. Jordan's shitting in the bathroom.
Nice. We're keeping that in, by the way. Excellent. And on a personal note, you've been very open about getting yourself healthy and taking care of yourself. And congratulations on that. That's first and foremost more than important than anything else. Yeah. So has that affected your, I don't want to say writing, but have you experienced changes from that as a result?
Oh, definitely, you know, 100%. I mean, I have to put my sobriety first over anything I do, because if I stay sober, then I'm just speaking for me personally, if I stay sober, then I can do anything, but if I don't stay sober, then I disappear for 9 days, and, you know, and it's like the Hulk, when the Hulk wakes up, you know, and he comes to you, and his pants are ripped, and he's, like, in a weird area, and he's, like, clothes are half off, like, where am I? It's like that, so, yeah, I definitely think it's like the curse and the blessing, you know. The curse is this crazy, life that I lived and problems I had that I have been facing and I'm still facing. And the blessing is being able to still be alive to tell about it. And the best thing I can do is stay alive and inspire another human being to stay alive. And also the coolest thing about this is that I have this band that I'm in that gets to travel the world and also translate these songs we have that speak, you know, every language. Music speaks so many, you know, it just speaks any language, and being able to relate to anybody on that level is beautiful. And especially now being me, who I am now. It does 100%, you know, because I'm not who I was 5 years ago. I'm not who I was yesterday, you know, so I'm just like, you got to keep moving forward. So I'm grateful that I'm moving forward today.
All right, moving forward with this interview, it seems
next
like
question. Yes,
it seems like you guys took a few left turns on the album with, you know, incorporating some Spanish guitar on Spanish Days.
There you go,
that's
perfect.
That's me.
I was gonna say you also co-wrote half of Black Hawk's Over Lost. I love that album, so yeah. All right, you also, did you guys write this in standard tuning? I think I read somewhere.
We wrote the songs in E-flat. We normally tune down a whole step, D, G, C, F, A, D. And this album, we tried, like, since we did Soulmate from No Use for Name, we did that in E-flat. We kind of toyed with the idea of, like, hey, what if you started writing our songs in E-flat? Because Kyle Black, who produced our new album, he also produced the No Use for Name tribute we did. And it was his idea, like, hey, let's try an E flat. And then from that, it was kind of spawning the idea of, like, you know, let's just try it. You know, we've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years. So, and it's just a tuning, but little things. It could push the vocals, you know, and just, you know, it's different, you know. But, yeah, it was definitely an interesting thing at first, but where's I going with this? Wait, so you said something about burritos and oh yeah, okay, where yeah. The recording, go to the start over.
Okay.
Where
are
we at?
Well, no, I think
interview like
not anymore. All right. So basically, the new tuning opened a new world of possibilities.
Yeah, it opened a new world, and yeah. I mean, it's you're still gonna write songs where you're writing it in the positioning, but yeah, it's just something cool to try.
Absolutely.
You know, like it's like we had songs like when I wrote Calling, when I originally wrote the music for Calling, the guitar, like that, I wrote that in B, so it was B E A D G F sharp E. I wrote that in drop B, you know, or just down like two steps, you know. I wrote that like like really low, and then it was like, eh, let's put it in D. But yeah, everything else, so I think from that is when we kind of just had the groundwork to kind of go, okay, let's just, we're gonna keep it in E flat for writing songs. And yeah, like Spanish Days was like I wrote that into that middle part, Spanish part, like in my apartment, you know, just kind of like one night, like, oh, and I wrote the three parts together, and I sent it to Jason, like, hey, what do you think of this? And then, like, and I had this other riff that was the beginning, the intro. I had, like, the intro and the verse and the chorus, but I didn't have the Spanish part yet. But it was just all, it's kind of cool when you have riffs from, like, 20 years ago, you can kind of pull it that you never used. You can kind of pull it into a song now. You're like, oh, yeah, I can fucking use that riff finally. Like, yeah. It works, you know, or like, oh, it still doesn't work, you know, but it all kind of, like, you know, organically happen. That's the best thing about writing music, you know, when you get, I guess, more confident in it, when you're doing it around the people that feed you, you know, like my band, we all, like, really work well off each other, so, yeah, it takes on, it becomes a different thing, you know, it becomes its own creature, you know, when you start writing some songs, you know, it's weird where it goes sometimes. It's really cool where you go, wow, it's weird how that turned out from that, you know, or it's a really awesome process to be a part of. So I just went in a tandem right there, but it's all good, you know.
That's great. That's what we're here for. All right. So there are lots of sound clips throughout the album. How do you go about choosing those?
You start coming down in the record recording and the songs are really starting to take shape. You're starting to hear the vocals, what the lyrics are about, you know, like, and you start putting the song order too. Like, how's this gonna? What's the first song gonna be? What's the second song? You know, what's the fifth song? What's the last song? And you want to have a flow. You know, it can't just be all fast and then slow. Eight song. You got to make it like a roller coaster ride.
Sure.
You know, you got to make it interesting. So I think it just kind of comes. You know, it gets inspired as we get inspired. You know, throughout time, it's like, oh hey, like, what if there's all this space right here? And then, like, then we added a solo because no one had anything right there. We had this little part. Then it's like, oh, and then Jake's like, hey, I have an idea. Like, let's put Robin Williams' quote, like, at the end of that, too. Like, cool. Like, it's kind of weird, you know. Again, it's, like, the organic process of it just growing. And then it's like, whoa. Like, we never thought of that when we first wrote the song, you know, like, where it's at now. So
it also sort of feeds into the title. You know, it's like a transmission. You're picking up something else, like a Charlie Chaplin quote. You've got that sinister laughter at the end of Tesla.
Right.
So I could see that feeding into it, too.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Now, a big part of the delay in the album, because, well, it's not exactly Chinese Democracy or anything, but people were waiting for it, was Kyle Black's availability, or lack thereof.
Sure.
Sitting on the on the songs that long, were you able to reevaluate them and, you know, reconsider some of them?
Oh, of course. I mean, you have more time with something, you're going to be able to, especially when it's something that you're so, privileged to still be doing, and also so far in your career where it's like in your head where you're like, this has to be good, you know, like, it's weird, it's so many things in your head, because when you do have a career based after 20-something years, you're in this band, in the scene, you gotta, like, you have to be strategic, you know, and you can't just, oh, fuck it, it's done. It's like, you're all, well, cool, we actually got time with it, let's, you know, kind of work on it. And it's good. We've had that before with some albums where we had, like, a lot of time. We had, like, most of it done. Then we went on tour to, like, Europe for, like, 6 weeks, and we just listened to it. Then we came back and finished vocals, you know. We've done. But this thing was definitely, like, blocks and blocks and blocks. So it was getting kind of, you know, it was hard to deal with sometimes because, you know, you want to finish it. You know, we're a band that we like to finish what we started, you know, get it done and put it out, especially since I think it being so long since the last record. So it just, you know, it was difficult at times, but really, I mean, I think you're always getting the exact experience you're supposed to be getting at that time. So it was what we were supposed to experience. We were supposed to be patient. It was like a lesson in humility of just being, oh, you know, I'm just... because it's like we missed a whole year of touring, of like having summer planned and then like backing out because it's not coming out now. Then the fall, oh, no, now. So, you know, it was hard because it's like we want to go out and play because that's what we do, you know. And it's hard to like kind of sit at home and not to like go, okay, you know, like, So, but it was, you know, it's the best thing. So I'm just like, I'm here now, so it's all good, you know.
Now, one thing I've noticed over the career of the band is that you seem to switch producers for each album, at least from the last couple, it seems. Is that your way of keeping it fresh and get a new perspective each time? Or?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if it's necessarily a thing, let's just keep it fresh, but we push ourselves. We're very gnarly about pushing ourselves and, you know, pushing ourselves to the limit to see what we can put out. And I think we're always just striving to be better, you know, and we don't like to be comfortable and just be, like, resting our laurels and be, oh, it's good, this will be fine. You know, it's like, we like to inspire. We're fans, too. You know, we're fans just like of any other band that, you know, we're still kids. When it comes down to it, we're still kids that love music. And, yeah, we just try to keep, we just want to push each other, I think, is what it is, so.
Now, I know a lot of bands don't really care about them so much, but we fans, music video, anything in the works for the album?
Yeah, we shot a video for Modern Drugs right before we left, and I think it's pretty much done being edited right now, so it's going to be premiering in the next few weeks, like I think the next 2 or 3 weeks it's going to be out. Okay. So it's going to be out soon, yeah. It looks amazing. The video looks amazing. We had our friend London May, like he's like the star in it. London's from the band Sam Hain, the drummer of Sam Hain, and London's an amazing guy, talented actor, amazing friend, and yeah, he's in the. We got him in the video. We got him to like be this. I won't even give it away, but he looks amazing. And this other girl, we have Sabrina in it, like, and we have all our friends that came out, all our old school friends came out to help out and do this other scene that interjects with us playing live, and it's really it's awesome. It's a really fucking dark video and just wild.
Well, looking forward to it, yeah. Then now, a lot of veteran bands, they get to a certain point and it seems like they bounce from record label to record label. Does your partnership with Fat Rec give you a certain peace of mind that you don't have to worry about distribution or like backing of it?
Well, sure. I mean, it's a comfortable thing. It's family, you know. They've been family for a long time, and it's who we know. It's our brothers and sisters there, and our boss is Mike. So we've been lucky like that, too. We have someone who's in the business, not just a record label owner, but a guy who's in like, the most successful independent band of all time, you know. And, you know, he's smart, you know. He's done a lot of incredible things, and with other bands, getting other bands successful, and I mean, he just did a tremendous musical he premiered in San Francisco, and yeah, so I mean, we have a lot of great people on our side that we look up to, and yeah, it's just been home for us, and we've been fortunate enough to be there for that long, and it just seems right, you know. It just, I mean, we've toyed with the idea of trying something else, sure, you know, who isn't, you know, going to try that, but in the end, it always seems to come back to where it started, you know.
Absolutely. All right, so you guys put out a B-sides album, Prototypes and Painkillers, and also a few other B-side tracks, or whatever tracks you want to call them, on Top Contenders, your greatest hits. Many of these leftover songs were outright gems. They were awesome. Do you have any extra tracks from your recent recording sessions floating around that might see the light of day soon?
Yeah, we have a song that's an extra song from this new album that's I don't know if I should. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's called, it's either called Crows or it's called Starving at the Feast. And I think it's going to be on the new Fat Comp, I think. Or it's going to be some unreleased song, but it's going to come out soon. But that we have that song. We actually had like 23 songs for this new album that we had, and then we consolidated down to 15 to go and record. And then we're kind of like, fuck, it's a lot. Because we didn't have any, it wasn't like some songs were like, yeah, that song sucks. Let's just, don't even worry about that one. That one's X out of the list. But they're all like contenders. And we're like, yeah, these are all great. So that was a good thing for us. So then we kind of just whimmed it down to 12. And it was like, oh, well, so we got 13. We actually did 13 is what we tracked. So it's 12 on the record. And then there's the other one we have that's going to come out soon.
Now, a lot of people in the band have side projects, and you're very active on the side, working with Marty Friedman, the guitar player from my favorite era of Megadeth, of course. How did you get hooked up with him?
It's a wild story. But yeah, Marty Friedman is an amazing dude. Awesome, awesome, cool as hell guy. I love him. And, yeah, a good friend of mine, my friend Matt Hyde. Matt Hyde did Blackhawks and Exile for us, produced those. And Matt and I are really, really good friends, and that's kind of where that thing started. I did, Matt invited me because he did Parkway Drive's last album, Atlas, and I played bass in that album. And then, that kind of went from that doing another band. So I just kind of got into that whole scene of being a studio guy, which it's not really, that's my forte, but it's been really cool. But that's how the Marty thing happened, as our friend Chris was doing it. Chris was an assistant to Matt Hyde. And Chris has done a lot of, he's done Danzig Records, Hank 3. He's done a lot of amazing stuff, too. Chris is talented, our friend Chris Rakestraw. And it was just a thing like that. Like, last year, Chris hit me up, and I was like, hey, I'm working with Marty Friedman right now. Like, I might be able to have you be able to do a few songs. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll play on his record. Like, twist my arm. So it was just, it was kind of random. It kind of fell in my lap, so I was just really lucky.
It's a really good album, too, so.
Yeah, it came out great, yeah. It's an insane album, yeah. He's on top of his game, man. Marty's insane, dude. Yeah, I recently went to his, he did a guest lecture at a Japanese language school in downtown LA that I went to like a month right before we left on tour. And he did a guest lecture on bilingualism, and I went to his lecture. It was pretty cool, you know. But he's a really smart guy, and besides being a talented guitar player that he is, this guitar metal legend, you know. But he's definitely he's definitely a sharp knife in the drawer, for sure, you know.
Now, over the years, you guys have done whole record shows, maybe playing some tracks that you normally wouldn't bring out on tour. Has that given you new perspective on some of those previously forgotten songs, maybe?
Sure. I mean, I don't like to get too nostalgic on going backwards. For me, I'm all about just, it's like, for me, when I put an album out, I go, cool, next. I'm always like that, I don't like to sit there and just dwell on it. I mean, sure, I'm proud of stuff, don't get me wrong, and it's cool to kind of go back, and your memories come up, oh yeah, we're recording this album, doing this and this. Yeah, it's great, and it's cool because fans appreciate it, but it's always fun to play. I just like to play music, so, just being able to have that in my life still, that's the blessing to me. So if I get to play an album from 10 years ago, cool. I get to play a brand new song, like play a cover song with someone on stage tonight, fucking rad, I'm just stoked to play, man, so.
All right, now you touched on this earlier with Soulmate for the tribute album to Tony Sly. A lot of the tracks on there were acoustic, slowed down, and respectful and awesome, but what I really liked about your interpretation was that you just played, your usual strung out awesomeness. And how do five guys in a band come together and decide on one song, though?
It was just, when Tony passed away, it was, we kind of started toying with that idea of just playing, let's cover a song. And so we started covering Soulmate. We learned it on tour, right after he passed away. And then I think that just kind of stuck with us, where we got that song for the record. And, again, when we do a cover song, to me, if I did a cover song, I don't want to do, if I wasn't record a cover song and put it out, I don't want to do a carbon copy of something. I mean, to me, that's just that's the same fucking song, if I covered a Faith No More song, I would never fucking do it exactly how they did. I'd fucking add a flute and a chainsaw and I'd just make it fucking crazy sounding, that you'd be like, huh? But there'd be little pieces of it, but make it your own, with anything like that. That's what you should do, is, put your stamp so people know it's you. You're not just like, oh, is that like is that Journey or is that like a cover band doing a Journey song? Like, you know, like you, yeah, you got to make it sound like you. And so we just, you know, put our strung out, you know, way too many different drum beat ideas to it and just make it fast. This is what we do. So
that's great. That's what we like. And I'm pretty sure on the new Faith No More, they have lots of flute and chainsaw. So yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the new album. Yeah, I'm stoked. I love Faith No More. They've been, you know, awesome band. I saw them a long time ago. So really stoked.
It's under 2 weeks. All right, so Strung Out started in, what, 91?
Yeah, or something like that.
Okay, let's say 91. Sure. So that would mean next year would be 25 years. Any plans talked about?
No, I mean, you know, really just, I think we're just play the next show. That's all it is, yeah. So we'll see if we get there. You know, yeah, it's like tomorrow's not guaranteed. So right now is awesome. Okay. And in an hour, you know, in an hour and a half from now, if that show happens, awesome. We'll, you know, we'll see what happens.
We're all holding our breath.
Yeah, I'll just keep, don't hold too long. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, looking forward, assuming you do survive tonight, what else do you guys have planned for the rest of 2015? I saw some big festival in Montreal was announced.
Yeah, we got, you know, we have some other things we're waiting to announce coming up internationally and stuff. And, yeah, we're definitely busy for the year. We have a lot of, we go to Europe in June. For a month, we do a bunch of festivals, playing with a bunch of bands, and got that, and then we have other stuff planned that we can't announce yet, but yeah, we're busy the whole year, so, yeah.
All right, before I go to the last one, a couple other notes. Congratulations on getting fake married in Indiana.
yeah, awesome.
And then you recently portrayed...
We really got married. Our tour manager, merch guy, is an ordained minister, and we're like going, you know, just for the fact of like, of what Indiana's been doing, it to me it's like, yeah, like I was like, hey, does anybody want to get married on stage, like being serious, like, you know, like let's do something like that, like fuck them for being assholes, you know, like, I mean, let's do something like that. And, you know, we're trying to get people on stage, you know, and it's kind of like, it was like a last minute thing, and I'm like, fuck it, like just to like, you know, go fuck you, you know, to like, you know, the people there, you know, that don't support it, you know, it's like, yeah, man, I mean, let's fucking meet marry Jason. You know, let's him and I get married on stage. So, but it sucks because I got sick from the honeymoon and I was thrown up the whole time. You know, I couldn't go out to eat. You know, it sucked.
Oh well,
it's a bummer.
I feel sorry that I didn't bring a gift. I mean, geez, oh. Anyway,
we're registered at a you know, Sears, so you can our wedding registry's there. So,
want to go have these on a lawnmower?
Yeah, sure. Oh, awesome. I think something up at Woolworths.
Yeah, we can. It'll work there, too. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Now, you've also been recently portraying a French-Canadian, Pepe.
Jesus.
Any acting in the future?
Yeah. Well, I do that at home. I mean, I'm a working thespian. So, yeah, that, you know, that's what I'm trying to get. My other career is working, gravitating into that as acting. I've been doing tons of extra work, being an extra, playing a cop in Kendrick Lamar's last video. You know, and, you know, shit like that, you know, I get to do that, but I'm working on it, you know, so that's like my little fun things of like, oh, people will look at it because they're my fans, you know, I'll just try to be funny, you know, I'm always just trying to, that's my thing is I'm always trying to entertain people. That's been my little thing since I was a kid is entertaining people, and I love it, you know, it's a high for me, it's a special thing for me, so being able to do it with music, now there's this whole other side of me I need to try. That I'm going to do. So, yeah. So, Pepe, he's here earlier.
Oh,
yeah, he was, I think he got a shawarma, or he's vegetarian, so he's, like, probably getting falafel, you know, so he's somewhere, you know.
Now, ever consider stuff like UCB or improv training?
No, it's funny, my friends, I was actually at UCB not long ago, my friends, a few of my friends have gone there, or, like, do stuff. So yeah, I definitely go into that little circuit where I go to like the little underground theater shows, like little improv shows. They're great, man. There's some talented people, man. So, and I've been taking acting classes with Robert Russler, is an 80s actor guy. He's fucking awesome. And that's actually where I met my few of my friends that we do little skits like that and stuff. And yeah, the UCB scene is great. There's, you know, talented people, man. So yeah, that's another way too. They just put yourself out there, man. You know, it's one thing to go, oh, yeah, I'm an actor. You go, yeah, well, go up there and do something, you know, or, like, just put yourself out there to that fear and just expose yourself and see what you are because, you know, maybe you are really good or not, or you'll find something that you're You know, it's all about discovering something. You want to discover something that you never knew and go, fuck yeah, I know what I like this now. Like, you know, like whether it be a new food you're too scared to try or asking a girl out or whatever it is, you know, something, you know, skydiving, you know, and you have this new thing or whatever it is, you know. But, yeah, going for it.
Awesome. All right. I always end interviews with this one. Stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life. What is it?
Phil Collins' Greatest Hits.
Okay.
That's all I got. Or Huey Lewis in the News 4.
Not sports? Wow.
I meant sports, actually. Okay. Sports or... I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Maybe
thank you guys.
Yeah, maybe we could trouble you for a spot or two. Radio.
Sure, no problem.
Awesome. Someone from LA, so with an aspiring writer here, any neighborhoods you suggest that would be kind of cool? Or
hi, my name is your name and your band, and you're listening to and the next one?
Yeah, that's the next one to me.
Oh, okay.